The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. Thank you. Yes, you are too kind. All right, settle down. All right, let's hear it again. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to CPA Reviewed, the official podcast of another71.com. Today is Monday, January 30th. And man, it seems like we haven't done a show in a month ago, since a month ago. Oh, wait, it's because we haven't. We haven't done a show since Christmas. So, yes, I can still say Christmas on this show because it's my show. So, happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, and happy tax season all in one. So, like I said, we haven't done a show in a month, not because I've been lazy, believe it or not, but because I've been working on a new project, and it is the Ninja Assassin audio series. Yes, that's right. I saw a hole in the marketplace for a good audio course. There really wasn't one. And so I made one, and I believe that it will instantly be the best audio course on the market. On the market. So far, I spent about 3 weeks on auditing and attestation. Yes, I just didn't plop down in front of a microphone and just hit record. I actually respect your time enough to write out the transcript and then record, and each chapter probably took a million takes. And I think I've said about 10 times in the last minute, but there's none of that on the Assassin Auditing audio because I didn't put any in there because I edited them out. Like I said, it's streamlined. I don't waste your time. The auditing audio course clocks in at under 2.5 hours. So you can actually listen to it several times a week. So here we are. And I have a boatload of questions to get to because, like I said, haven't done the show in over a month. I've actually gotten quite a few emails. Jeff, I missed the podcast. Sad face. So here we are. And there were quite a few questions on studying with 2011 materials for a 2012 exam. So I actually answered that question one time. But it applies for all of them. So here we go. Ken says, does the CPA exam spreadsheet at the testing center work just like Excel? And the answer is no. You can use the spreadsheet at the testing center during, Ken is obviously talking about simulations. You can use it for something simple like equals 2 plus 2. But if you do anything more complex beyond equals 2 plus 2, you're asking for trouble. So use your scratch paper or just the Windows-based calculator that's on the exam. So don't expect too much from that spreadsheet. It's not Excel. Don't run a VLOOKUP or a SUMIF. It will give you weird looks. David says, I have Wiley books from 2011, along with my CPA review course from 2011. Do you think I could get by in 2012 with 2011 material? And I think, well, do you need to buy a 2012 brand new course? No. If you have a 2011 course that cost you the, you bought all four parts and it cost you the equivalent of a mortgage payment, well, hopefully that course is giving you free updates for 2012. Granted, it's not fair to ask them to give you brand new books because that costs them money. But hopefully for a nominal fee, they're giving you free updates. But if they don't, as long as your materials are updated as of July 1st, 2011, which is when a lot of the 2011 exam change, well, that's not true. There are 2011 exam changes, but that was back in January 2011, but that was the biggie. July 2011, there were some changes. SFAC 8 superseded SFAC 2. BEC corporate governance got international internal auditing standards. Regulation got the Dodd-Frank Act and some other stuff. So if your course is updated as of July 2011, you should be okay. But there is a cost-effective way to update your materials without dropping another mortgage payment on some CDs and some printouts or whatever. And what you do is Wiley CPA Review has some really good books and they're pretty affordable. I would get their book. I would buy their 2012 online test bank from me because I sell it at a discount. And always I am a big proponent of my own products, which are the Ninja Study Guides. And a lot of people have had success with the Ninja Study Guides and they don't waste their time with a bunch of fluff. They just get down to business and tell you exactly what you need to know. So to update your 2012 materials, you could do it you could do very well for yourself on a cost effective basis. So I hope that helps. I would get a new Wiley book. I would get the 2012 test bank. And if you already have the Ninja Notes, email me and I will send you updated copies because I give free updates until you pass. Randy says, I recently bought the 2012 Wiley books. Should I get the Wiley software and Ninja Assassin Notes? Randy, you were reading my mind because I just answered that. Yes, you should. The Wiley textbooks are good because they have all the updated information. And then the Wiley online test bank, it's good for a year. I only sell the year version, but it has simulations, practice exams, you name it. And it has the look and feel of the Prometric testing experience. And then the Ninja Assassin Notes, again, free updates until you pass. And all killer, no filler. Jilly says, I took financial today. When I was all done with the testlets, I pressed quit the exam. I did not get the Prometric survey, and I'm worried my answers did not save because the computer went straight to a Prometric screen. Both Prometric and NASBA will not give me an answer. Will my exam be graded? My guess is yes. If you don't get a grade, then you really need to jump on them. But I would wait and see if your score got recorded. But my guess is that it did. I wouldn't worry too much about that. If it did not get recorded, well, then that's a whole other ball game, and you can write me back and we can game plan all about that. But for now, let's assume that your score did get recorded. Maybe they just changed it up. Maybe they don't do the survey anymore. And if you call it Prometric and NASBA, I don't know that they're necessarily going to know about a survey at the end of the exam. So I wouldn't worry about it. Vino writes, I took regulation on January 7th. It appears my score will be released on February 3rd. If I don't pass, will I have time to reschedule and take reg again before I lose my financial credit in February? Vino's email is based on a post that I just updated today. Over the weekend, AICPA released their updated score release schedule. And I took their fourth quarter schedule and just extrapolated. And, you know, they said 10 business days following day 20 of the testing window, which would have been February 3rd. Well, they released something over the weekend, and now they're saying instead of 10 business days following day 20 and 5 business days following day 45, they're now saying 11 business days following day 20 and 6 business days following day 25. And I think that's because day 10 business days and 5 business days fell on a Friday, and so they want to release those on a Monday. So now instead of February 3rd, the targeted first little wave of score releases is anticipated for February 6th. So, but back to the question. You took regulation January 7th, wondering about getting your score so you can take it again in this window. Well, the easy answer is you cannot, because you can only take one section. In other words, you can only sit for regulation one time in the first testing window. And then if you come up short, you have to take it, you have to wait until April. You can only take an exam section one time per testing window. Aliza says, I took Auditing in October and received a 74. I was extremely shocked and disappointed at my failing mark because I felt really confident while I was taking the exam. After this disappointment, how do I get back into study mode? Well, there's a reason why you're feeling confident, because you scored a 74. 74, you were extremely close. There just happens to be maybe one conceptual area, one or two area conceptually where you're weak or weaker. And that's what happened with the 74. Or maybe something just, maybe you were just killing it on the multiple choice questions and you just kind of messed up on the simulations. That's enough for a 74. A 74 means, man, you're so close. You just need to tweak one little thing, get back in there and kill it. But while I say tweak one thing, take that with a grain of salt, because when you took your exam, you scored a 74. If you walked in there today, you wouldn't score a 74. You might score a 60 because you haven't studied. So you need to go back and replicate how you studied before, and then kind of shore up or tweak your study regimen to get rid of that one weakness and get it out of there. So maybe it's internal control. You just do like a million internal control questions, and then you replicate what you did before. Go back in there and annihilate your exam. As far as the disappointment, I know how it goes, because I scored back-to-back 74s on regulation, and it cost me my financial credit. And at the time, I wanted to throw my laptop through the wall. So, but when you come up short with a 74 or whatever, you have permission to get mad and pout for a day or two. But then after that, it's time to get back in there and take care of business and get the exam over with. Don't let these temporary failures, because that's what they are, they're temporary. 3 years from now, when you're a licensed CPA, you will look back and be like, man, that 74 sucked, but it didn't beat me. And then so when someone else comes along like, man, I scored a 74, you can say, you know what? I was in your shoes once, and this is what I did. And I think that that is what you're going to do. Thank you for your question. Salman writes, I am an enrolled agent in Virginia and want to pursue my CPA designation. Unfortunately, both my BBA and my MBA were not in accounting, so I need 4 more accounting classes in order to qualify in Virginia. Is there a way that I can get credit for my EA exams or my 3 years of experience in tax? And the answer is highly unlikely. But the powers that be in the CPA exam world are very particular about education requirements, licensure requirements. They don't really have reciprocity with other programs. It used to be to where if you were a CPA, you could not have to take Section 1 of the CMA. But now the CMA is two parts, so I'm not sure if they still have any type of benefit there. But no, you are going to have to follow the education requirements to the T for to be in order to do the CPA thing, unfortunately. Kerry says, I passed the CPA exam in Wisconsin in May of 1989. How do I get the results from Wisconsin sent to Illinois? I would call up both the Wisconsin Board of Accountancy and tell them your situation. Surely they have your file. I mean, it's been so long. Sure, they have your file in a box somewhere in the basement or on microfilm or something to where they can go find it and then figure out what the next step is, just finding your documentation. And then once you have that, then call the Illinois Board of Accountancy and figure out what the next step is there. That's what I would do. Step one is finding the documentation to prove that you passed the exam and all that good stuff. John says, basically, my research is into a good study method and review material. Has left my head spinning. As someone that is married with kids, what method did you use to pass the exam? I think he's asking what method of studying. So basically, how do you balance family life, work, church, little league, marriage, kids, in-laws, friends, all of that good stuff while passing the exam? Well, the bad part about the exam is that you have to say no to a lot of things. The good part of the exam is that sometimes it gets you out of things like family reunions. But what you have to do is basically you have to make little sacrifices in order to win, which means getting up earlier, which means not going out to eat at lunch with your work friends, but instead you study. I used to have a buddy who would go sit in the parking lot and study in his car at lunch because he knew if he went and sat where we worked, it was a large company, and they had a cafeteria. And instead of going and sitting in the cafeteria, he would go and sit in his car because he knew that if he sat in the cafeteria, people would, I mean, well-intending people would come up, hey, what's going on, man? Hey, what are you studying for? Oh, cool. Hey, can I sit down? And you just have to learn to say no to the extra stuff that doesn't matter. What does matter, your wife and kids and the activities and commitments that are really important to you. The extra stuff like the Saturday night outings with the boys to go watch the UFC at Buffalo Wild Wings. maybe I'm the only one that does that. That type of stuff has to fall by the wayside because, not that doing that is bad, but because you're already saying no to your family because you're studying. You can't additionally say no to your family because you need me time. You have no me time when you're studying for the CPA exam. Your me time is you and your book and your whatever you're studying. Unfortunately, that's pretty sad. Because if you study and then you need your, quote, me time on top of that, you're never going to see your family. Your family's going to resent you. Your kids are, you will get tired of asking your kids when they can see you again. You will start getting annoyed. Your spouse, who just needs to sit down and have an adult conversation with you because they've been talking with 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds all day, they're going to be annoying to you because because you feel like during your downtime you want to play Modern Warfare 3 or whatever, or you want to go out or whatever. The bottom line is you have to sacrifice. Your family is already sacrificing, and so you have to make sure that you make that you still have a family to come back to when you pass the exam. Hey guys, I got my certificate. Oh wait, the house is empty because my wife and kids moved out. That actually happens, and that happened to someone that I know. They got tired of it, so the wife and kids moved out. She went to live with her parents. Thankfully, they reconciled, and they're still married today. But getting those emails, hey, Jeff, my wife just left me. That's one of those only, oh, wow, I need to sit down and really help this guy out because this sucks for him. So bottom line, make sure that you are sacrificing as much or more really than your family while you're studying, and get rid of all of your personal comforts that you need. Like I said, your guy time, there's no such thing exists while you're studying for the exam. Andrew says, my notice to schedule expires on March 30th. Do you think I have enough time after it expires to submit another application, get my new NTS, and schedule an exam for the beginning of April? Yeah, probably. You might have a week of lag time there. But especially if you get your NTS through email, that will help for sure. So Bami says, I have 23 days left to study for reg, and I'm feeling overwhelmed because I think the time might be inadequate. Any thoughts for a study plan? Go to another71.com, or actually, just Google how to pass the CPA exam in 20 days, and I have a plan to do that. And 23 days on regulation, it's not ideal, but you can do it. Ian says, I blame my review course for not passing financial and regulation because I don't think it's adequately preparing me for simulations. I've done every single practice question, and I do have the financial accounting and reporting assassin. What suggestions can you give me to help me pass? So the problem is the simulations, but those are tricky because everyone is struggling with simulations right now. I still hold that if you know the multiple choice questions on a conceptual level, then you should be able to do well on the simulations. The only problem is execution. And if you know how to navigate the tabs and all that on the simulations, you should be okay. It's normal to get some tabs where you're like, what in the world are they asking me to do? When I was taking financial one time, I knew the material inside and out, but I could not figure out what they wanted me to put in the tabs or in the blanks. It wasn't a drop-down blank. It was type something in. Well, I didn't know what to type in. I sat there and stared at the instructions for 15 minutes, just figuratively pulling my hair out. And it sucked. So make sure that you're going to cpa-exam.org and practicing the simulation software. Make sure that you can quickly navigate the research component. So that will help for sure. That way you don't have that lag time on exam day trying to figure out how to make your research component stick. All right, everyone. Well, that does it for today. Thank you for your patience in waiting for this podcast. I can tell that you were all hitting refresh on my another 71 like you would if you were waiting for exam scores, just dying to listen to the next podcast. But here it is, nevertheless. You can go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, ask Jeff, and I will answer your question as a part of a future podcast. Or you can go to Facebook. Go to facebook.com/another71. And as always, you can go to the another71.com forum. And there's I think last time I looked, there's over 30,000 people registered there. So that's kind of cool. So that does it for today. Happy Monday to you, and enjoy the early days of tax season, the calm before the storm. Maybe you're already in the storm because of 1099s. So anyway, take care, everyone. I'll talk to you soon.